ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 3. Chapter is entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabhai. Yo vignata ritastasya Purusasya sakeshwaraha Yanna vigyayate pumbi Yo vigyatāritastasya Purusasya sakeshwaraha Yanna vigyayate pumbi Nama bhīva kriyā gunahi Yo vigyatāritastasya Purushasya Sakeshwara Yanna Vigyayate Pumbi Nama Bhirva Kriya Gunahi Yaha. He who avigyata unknown arita described tasya of him purushasya of the living entity saka the eternal friend ishvara the master yat Because na never vigyayate is understood pumbi by the living entities nama bhi by names va or kriya gunai by activities or qualities. Translation. The person I have described as unknown is the supreme personality of Godhead, the master and eternal friend of the living entity. Since the living entities cannot realize the supreme personality of Godhead by material names, activities or qualities, he remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. Please just repeat responsibly. The person I have described as unknown is the supreme personality of Godhead. The master and eternal friend of the living entity. since the living entities cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material names, activities or qualities, he remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unknown to the conditioned soul, He is sometimes described in Vedic literature as Nirakara, Avigyata or Avan Manasa Gochara. Actually, it is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be perceived by material senses as far as His form, name, quality, pastimes or paraphernalia are concerned. However, when one is spiritually advanced, one can understand the name, form, qualities, pastimes and paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 55. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yas tasmi tattvaha. One can understand in truth the Supreme Personality of Godhead only when one is engaged in devotional service. Ordinary persons engaged in pious and impious activities cannot understand the form, name and activities of the Lord. The devotee, however, can know the Personality of Godhead in many respects. He can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that His address is Goloka Vrindavan, and that His activities are all spiritual. Because the Lord's form and activities cannot be understood by materialistic people, He is described by the Shastras as Nirakara, that is, one whose form cannot be ascertained by a materialistic person. This does not mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no form. It means that He is not understood by the karmis or fruitive actors. His form is described in Brahma Samhita as Satchit Ananda Vigraha, as confirmed by the Padma Purana. Atasti Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indrehe Sevan Mukkehe Jivadav Swayam Eva Sporatiraha. No one can understand Krishna as He is by utilizing the blunt material senses. However, the Lord reveals Himself to His devotees, being pleased with them because of their transcendental loving service rendered unto Him. Since the name, form, qualities and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by the material senses, He is also called Adokshaja, meaning beyond sense perception. When the senses are purified by devotional activity, the devotee understands everything about the Lord by the Lord's grace. In this verse, the words Pumbir, Namabir, Vakriya Gunai are especially significant because God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has many names, activities and qualities, although none of them are material. Despite the fact that all these names, activities and pastimes are mentioned in the Shastras and understood by the devotees, the karmis, fruitive laborers, cannot understand them. Nor can the jnanis, mental speculators, understand them. Although there are thousands of names of Lord Vishnu, the karmis and jnanis intermingle the names of the Supreme Godhead with the names of demigods and human beings. Because they cannot understand the actual name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they take for granted that any name can be accepted. They believe that since the Absolute Truth is impersonal, they can call Him by any name. Otherwise, they maintain He has no name. This is not a fact. Here it is clearly stated, Nama Vidva Kriya Gunaya. The Lord has specific names such as Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu and Adokshaja. They are indeed many names, but the conditioned soul cannot understand them. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurum Maritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namo Shri Chaitanya Namo Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Vidham Hariyam Dadati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yogyanata Rithastasya Purushasya Sakeshwara Yanna Vigyayate Pumbir Nama Bhirva Kriyagunahi. The person I have described as unknown is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master and Eternal Friend of the Living Entity. Since the living entities cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material names, activities or qualities, he remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. The purport begins with a description by Srila Prabhupada of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul's perception of reality is tinged with material perception. Therefore, he is unable to see things as they are. His understanding of the Lord goes up to the stage of Narakar, Avigyata and Avan Manasagocha. Prabhupada explains in other purports that Narakara means without form. He has no perceivable form. But this means that the person who is observing the Lord or considering him to be Narakar is viewing with material senses. And of course, Krishna cannot be known by material senses. This is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the purport here. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavaikrayam Indraya Sevan Mukhahi Jivada Swayam Eva Spuratita. That because Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes are all on a transcendental level, they cannot be perceived by material senses. If one renders service by using one's tongue to chant the holy names of the Lord and respect the remnants, prasadam of the Lord, the tongue becomes purified and one gradually comes to realize actually who Krishna is. Yes. Avigyata means unknown. And this is also because of a lack of knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And the next Sanskrit phrase referred to by Srila Prabhupada in the purport is avan manasa gochara, which means that the Lord cannot be perceived by mind, senses or words. So there's a need to inquire from a superior authority where our sense perception, our ability to gain information from our senses is imperfect, then we need to refer or access information from a superior authority. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of wanting to know who one's father is. So by the process of Anuman, we may ask, or conjecture, he is my father, he is my father. But the best way to know who one's father is to ask one's mother, and she will immediately say, this is your father. That same pratyaksha, or direct perception, through one's defective senses, is also an incomplete or imperfect way of gathering information, as explained in the Sri Upanishad. However, if one engages in the process of devotional service, then one's sense perception becomes perfect. Because by the process of devotional service, one's material imperfect senses becomes purified. This is the point of this quote from the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaivam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayat udirayat. That before engaging in the recital of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami was heading the sages, was speaking to the sages of Naimasharanya. This is in the first canto, second chapter. Glorifies the need to go through the representatives, the different representatives of the Lord, namely Narayana, Naranarayana, the topmost human being, and this Bhagavatam itself, which is the very means of conquest. In the purport to that verse 1-2-4, Srila Prabhupada explains what is the need for the living entity to try and escape his illusion and the cause of his illusion. The cause of his illusion is that he is wanting to act out of his true identity. The true identity of the living entity is Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. As soon as one forgets that and tries to enjoy beyond one's means and beyond one's allocation, as described in the Shri Upanishad also, Isha Vasya Midam Sava, when one tries to go beyond that, then one becomes bewildered. One becomes deviated from the original path, which is to be situated as an eternal servant of Krishna. To get back to that original position, one has to engage simply in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says, the living being is in the state of forgetfulness of his relationship with God due to his being overly attached to material sense gratification from time immemorial. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual, and it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must re-establish his eternal relationship with God. Srila Prabhupada refers here in the purport of this verse to chapter 18, text 55. Bhaktiya mam abhijanandi yavanyas chasmi tatvatha. Only by devotional service am I to be known. Krishna is directly perceivable, and one gets happiness by engaging in devotional service. This is confirmed in chapter 9, text 2. Pratyaksha vagamam danyam susukam kartum abhiyam. By engaging in this topmost yoga, the king of education and knowledge, Raja Vidyam Rajagoyam, then one experiences happiness. Yesterday Maharaj was mentioning about if somebody is hungry and then eats, he doesn't have to make an elaborate explanation that he's satisfied. He naturally feels satisfied from the eating, because the eating is what's necessary to make him overcome his hunger. In the purport of chapter 18, text 55, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the attempt to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is possible only by pure devotional service. So we need to make a distinction here. What is devotional service and what is pure devotional service? There is a distinction. This is explained in the third canto, chapter 29, text 8, 9 and 10. Therein, it has been explained to Devahuti by her son Kapila Muni, the Lord, Supreme Lord, that devotional service itself can exist in the division of the three modes of material nature. And when devotional service is tinged by the modes of material nature, then it affects the outcome of the devotional service. Of course, there's no loss or diminution in the attempt of devotional service, but one will not be able to progress as rapidly in Krishna consciousness if one is affected by any of the three modes of material nature. So in the modes of passion and ignorance, it's explained in the purports there that one becomes one develops a separatist mentality. The separatist mentality in terms of the mode of ignorance is one performs devotional service in a very envious way, in a proud way, thinking that he is the best devotee, better than others. And this false pride is a great obstacle in devotional service. In the mode of passion, one tries to gain from the devotional service. Instead of serving the master of the senses, one tries to establish a means to serve one's own senses. God becomes one's order supplier. So, this is also a separatist mentality. There's one very nice purport in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna refers to Krishna as Govinda. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. So, Arjuna, by using the word Govinda, is implying that Krishna should serve his senses. But that's not the proper thing to be done. Govinda means we should serve Rishikesh, the master of the senses, and automatically we are pleased. So by serving the master of the senses, our senses are automatically pleased. And Prabhupada explains there, Krishna will please our senses or give us gratification of the senses to the extent that we deserve, not necessarily to the extent that we covet. Man proposes and God disposes. So what is that pure devotional service? That pure devotional service is enacted under the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master without any motive. And that's explained furthermore in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Anya bilasita sunim jnana karman anavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. That devotional service, to be considered pure devotional service, should be free from any material motives. The desire for jnana and karma should also be there, as well as other attachments and other aspirations. This is pure devotional service. Anything else is like clean water which has some tinge of some dye, red dye or blue dye. So it's not pure water. It's contaminated, it's tinged. So another aspect of this purport which I thought I'd discuss today is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Prabhupada explains here that because jnanis and karmis misunderstand the way in which the Lord's name refers only to Him as a Supreme and He has unlimited names, they cannot access the holy name of the Lord because they equate the holy name of the Lord with that of demigods and common men. This is an offense against the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, to think the name of the Lord to be equal to that or independent of the name of demigods to be independent or greater than the name of the Lord. So to come to this level of pure devotional service is an endeavor. It takes a long time, or it can be done in a moment, as expressed by the story of Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga, after assisting the demigods in the fight against the demons, was offered a reward. You ask what you want. So he said, please tell me the moment of my death so I can prepare. So the demigods got into a little huddle, istigosti, and immediately said, you will die in a few moments. Said, what? So immediately he fixed his mind, he came to this earth planet and he fixed his mind in meditation and prayer to the Supreme Lord, and thus he was able to attain the ultimate goal of going back to Godhead. So in his case, just because he had complete knowledge and was guided by the advice of his seniors, he was able to attain perfection. And this is the way to attain success in this life. We have to get guidance from superior authority. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot access the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, nagati kupo. And therefore, all respect should be given to the spiritual master. Dvayam vamstase yasas prasandhyam vande groshi charanam. Associating with advanced devotees will affect our consciousness. This was mentioned by Maharaj yesterday, that by the association of high-minded devotees, one's consciousness is improved, increased. This is very much existent and prominent in the morning program. By regular attendance of the morning program, Mangal Aarti, praise to Lord Nrisimhadev, Tulsi Aarti, Kirtan, offering of pranams to the Vaishnavas, and then engaging in chanting with the devotees, one gradually builds up resistance to material infection. The conditioned state referred to here by Srila Prabhupada is an infected state. Later on I'll discuss a little bit about jaundice. So, in Krishna's name, which is non-different from Krishna, Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar, in this age, Krishna has come as his name, this is his mercy. He's come as the distributor of the holy name, Lord Nityananda. He's come as the incarnation who propagates the chanting of the holy name, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has empowered many, many devotees under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada to spread the chanting of the holy names in every town and village. It's the holy name itself which is the key to unlocking our imprisoned situation. Going back to this verse, Atashi Krishna Namadi, simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord offensively and attentively, without offenses, trying to be attentive, hearing every name, then one gradually starts to experience Krishna is actually here in the name. And if one treats the name with great respect, when one sits down to chant, one offers some prayers to previous acharyas, to the spiritual one, to the holy name itself, then one will be able to access the holy name of the Lord. And just that attempt to chant attentively, not even chanting attentively, just the attempt attracts the attention of Lord Nityananda. And if you have the attention of Lord Nityananda, you have everything. Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chanda Shishutana. That this material world is described in the Guru Vastakam as a blazing forest fire. Is there any possibility of being comfortable in the middle of a blazing forest fire? Not possible. So we have to make a means to get out. And it will not take just a few drops, a few sprinkles of water. It will take a flood, a downpour. And that's the flood, the downpour is offered by the spiritual master. And the original spiritual master is Lord Chaitanya, whose lotus feet have been described as Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Chanda Shishatala, that is cooling as the moonshine of thousands and millions of moons. When we sit down to chant our japa in the morning, we should think, this is it. It's now or never. Comes down to this mantra, to this name, to this syllable, the rest of my devotional life. Life or death. If one has that intensity and that urgency, there's no possibility of taking rest during japa. Sometimes we are guilty of that, either because of going to sleep late or some illness. It's cold, so if you have warm clothes, you get cozy, so you fall asleep. So many reasons may be there. But if you understand the urgency of this chanting, that it is the only way to escape our ensnared, entangled, imprisoned condition, we put the full emphasis on the chanting, then we will very attentively chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And then grace descends. Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining in his talks of how the grace of the Lord descends. It cannot be enforced that you demand, I want the grace of the Lord now. But you can get the attention of the Lord. You can ask Him, request Him. You know? Please, make yourself present in my life. I don't want to be a separatist anymore. I tried it my way, and it failed. Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way, but, you know, he didn't have the most successful life in the world, I don't think. But if you do it Krishna's way, then rest assured, all success will be there. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Instruction that the holy name of the Lord is sweet like sugar candy. But for a person's diseased condition, like jaundice, he experiences the taste to be unpalatable. There's a disease called jaundice in which the tongue becomes affected. And instead of tasting sugar candy as being sweet, it actually tastes bitter. But the only remedy to cure sugar, jaundice is to have a supply of sweet sugar candy. In the same way, being in a disease condition, the only hope for me is to constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. And that will destroy the disease at the root, is explained. Then we come to a stage of saying, 16 rounds, why 16 rounds? These 2 ears are insufficient, one tongue is insufficient. Rupa Goswami says, if thousands of tongues are had, if thousands of ears I had, then I can really chant and hear. So there's one conversation between Srila Prabhupada and Brahmananda Maharaj at that time. So it is a morning walk in Nairobi, Africa, 1975. And the question comes from another devotee, but Brahmananda Maharaj explains to Prabhupada that the devotee is talking about quality in chanting. Quality. How can you be sure of quality? And this debate comes up between devotees sometimes. Which is more important, quality or quantity? So let's just first explain what Prabhupada said in his answer to Brahmananda. So Prabhupada says, quality means you'll ask the question, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? And there'll be no force. In a process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, there has to be force. There has to be some obligation. Yes, I'm getting up, I'm going for Mangalati, but I'm obliged to do so because my spiritual master or my authority or the temple president asked me to do so. There's some force. However, by continuing with that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one comes to the stage of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, when the desire to go from to Mangalati, to chant your rounds early in the morning, to take part in the morning program, to engage in sadhana, is more spontaneous. And then there's no force. There's a natural attraction and attachment to the process. So, Srila Prabhupada gives a few examples in this conversation. The first example he gave was himself. You see, I get up every day at 1 o'clock in the morning and translate these books. Is anybody forcing me? No. I cannot live without it. Then he gives the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that real love, real attachment means there'll be no fluctuating in that emotion. It'll be constant. And that is explained by Lord Chaitanya. Yuga itam nimeshena chakshushunmali. Which means, basically, the essence of that, meaning of that verse is that I see the whole world as vacant without Govinda, without Krishna. So, in this way, real attachment for the Lord means if there's no Lord, if there's no beloved, there's no purpose of living. We see the world as empty. This disease condition, diseased, it's uncomfortable, it's unnatural. We don't belong in a situation where we are separate from Krishna. The analogy is given of a fish out of water. So as many facilities as you may give that fish, you know, lady fishes we associate with, a nice feast, fish food perhaps, so many nice games to play, he'll never be happy. Never. But if you put that same fish in even a small vessel of water, immediately it is peaceful. So we are spiritual beings in a material world. So there's no chance of becoming comfortable here. But what to do? In this material body, which is described by Srila Prabhupada as a bad bugger, we make the best use of the bad bugger. And how to do that? By endeavoring in the process of Krishna consciousness, beginning jiva dao, beginning by using this tongue, first to chant the holy names of the Lord and to honor Krishna prasad. And in this way, one can purify one's existence. Otherwise, we will start to take things for granted. We start to lose taste for the process. We may say, why is the need to attend the morning program? It's so cold. Krishna is not so cruel to make me come out in this freezing cold to attend Mangalati. No, I'll stay at home. Krishna knows I love him. I'll chant later, because in the morning, you know, I'm shivering, my hands in a bead bag, I can't even hold the beads properly, so I'll chant later. Devotee association is not so palatable to me. I think I'd rather associate with the rickshaw wala and speak to him today. Or I'm not pleased to see the Vaishnavas, you know. Why are they so happy all the time? This world is miserable. I prefer to be happy, so I'll be unhappy to see the Vaishnavas. This is actually an offense. Or you take the process for granted. I mean, Krishna consciousness, Buddhism, Shaivism, it's all the same after all. This is the diseased materialistic mentality. And this can overcome us if we associate with worldly-minded persons, materialistic persons. We take on their characteristics. No. Krishna consciousness is rare. It is the gold medal of all gold medals. Therefore, to get it, to really get it, is not cheap. There's one nice story, a mundane story, which Bodhijan Prabhu says in a class in a japa retreat at Govardhan. So Prabhu says, there was once a German athletics coach who trained the little German gymnasts, girls, and he was very strict. He was strict to the extent that, you know, the girls were getting fried and they were going home in tears, because he always said, this is wrong, that is wrong, this is... It was never an encouraging word. So the parents got together and said, you know, to another coach, assistant coach, please speak to this person. He's like so discouraging. Our girls are depressed now. They don't want to do this. They're going to drop off. So the coach met with the parents and says, you don't understand. I am training these girls to win Olympic gold. When it comes to Olympic gold, there's no room for error. It is the gold medal of all gold medals. And when you train to become a winner of a gold medal, Olympic gold, you have to go through the fires, the rigors of austere training, and face the most difficult and stringent tests to pass the ultimate test of having a perfect 10 and getting that gold medal. And I may be putting these girls through so much of trouble today, but I've seen what happens if they get that gold medal. When one of these girls survives my training and some of the other wins Olympic gold, I've seen it. They don't go running. First of all, they cry. They cry and cry and cry and cry. And it's not through my training. It's tears of happiness. And they go running. And it's not to the parents that they go first time. Do you know who they go running to? Because they know whatever I put them through is to get them to this point. So we pursuing Krishna consciousness, pure love of God, pure devotional service. It is the gold medal of gold medals of gold medals. It is the highest. So you should expect the greatest tests. I want to analyze this point and we'll stop now. So just please think of some questions. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text 19, it's described by Sanjaya, actually, that the blowing of the conch shells of the Pandavas shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. Now, previous to this, there's quite a lot of conch blowing going on. The different members of the Kaurava armies blow their conches, then individual Pandavas blow their conches. But when the conch was blown by the Pandavas, it shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. And when the Kauravas blew on the army, Prabhupada explains, there was no such heart shattering on the parts of the Pandavas. Why is that? Because they were overwhelmed with fear. Prabhupada explains in the purport of chapter 1, text 19, that for one who has taken shelter of Krishna, he feels no fear. There's no need for any fear, even in the face of the greatest calamity. And those words gave me a lot of strength, actually. That these are the tests, like the example of the test of this German coach. If we take complete shelter of Krishna, we can face any test. And when Krishna sends us tests, he doesn't make a mistake. Krishna never makes mistakes. Therefore, his name is Achyuta, infallible. So, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find, in your study of the Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna continually refers to Krishna by various names. And the way those names are used is explained by Srila Prabhupada in the purpose. So, Bhagavad Gita is a very deep text, actually. You can study it on many levels and go deep into the study to understand. So this word Achyuta means infallible. Why is Krishna called infallible by Arjuna? Krishna is called infallible by Arjuna because he took on the role of Charitya. And to show the example that he is infallible and to maintain his name as Achyuta, he, without hesitation, drove the chariot wherever Arjuna directed him, as a sarati. In this case, Parata Sarati. So, at one stage, Arjuna says, please draw my chariot in the midst of these armies so I can see who is gathered here to contend this great contest of arms. Of course, he knew. It's us, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. But when he made that request, Krishna did something very interesting. Krishna obeyed as Achyuta, infallible. But where did he place the chariot? He placed the chariot in such a way that Arjuna was looking directly at Dronacharya and Bhishma. So all the emotions which were there, which were going to now be stirred, churned up in the heart of Arjuna, was instigated by Krishna by placing his chariot in that particular position so that the conversation of Bhagavad Gita can take place. Krishna never makes mistakes. And then, why did Krishna do this? So Arjuna could face his deepest-seated anatta. Of course, you know that Arjuna is a pure devotee. There's no case of him being illusioned. But for the sake of speaking this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna arranged these circumstances. So when Arjuna faced his relatives, the deep-seated anatta of identifying with the material body, being with the bodily concept of life, thinking this is my teacher, this is my guru, all these emotions become stirred up in Arjuna, prompting him to drop his Gandiva ball, which he vowed, if anybody let me release my Gandiva ball, I will kill that person. So he himself dropped his Gandiva ball. Why? Prabhupada explains, he's out of anxiety, his mouth dried up, his skin was trembling. Why? Not because of fear, because of great compassion. Arjuna as a devotee is very soft-hearted. So the tears that he wept, the trembling that he felt was not out of fear. He has no need to fear. So Krishna does like this in our lives. He places us in a situation where we face our greatest anatta. And sometimes you may have desires which are exactly not Krishna conscious. Any of you have desires which are not Krishna conscious? Nobody? One person has desires which are not necessarily Krishna conscious. One and a half, two and a half, three, okay. So a few of you have desires which are not Krishna conscious. This goes on. And the proper thing to do is to continue with Krishna consciousness and approach Krishna even if you have those hidden agendas and hidden desires. Because by approaching Krishna with those desires, what will happen? Krishna will fulfill those desires, but in such a way that he removes the desire. There's many pastimes of that in the Bhagavata. An example which comes to my mind now is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj aspired to have wealth, great wealth, as great, greater than Brahma. And what did Krishna give him? Darshan, Sakshat Darshan. So he thought, all these jewels, it's like pieces of glass. Now I have the most precious gem in being associated with Krishna. So when you get the ultimate goal of life, which is personal association with Krishna, through the chanting of the holy name, you're with Krishna, you chant attentively and purely, then all objections, all other subservient objections become insignificant. So here in this verse, the unknown friend is not perceivable by material senses but through the process of devotional service, the foremost of which is hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And this is only possible in the association of devotees under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So if there's any questions or corrections, comments, yes.
Thank you for a wonderful class. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is right there with Arjuna and explaining things to him, but sometimes we are put in situations where it's difficult for us to realize what is Krishna actually trying to tell me here. Can you make a comment on that?
You find that sometimes you are in situations where you find difficult to understand what is Krishna telling you? You're very fortunate. I find myself in situations like that constantly. So therefore there's three ways to check. Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. These three are guiding principles in our lives as devotees. We should always take shelter of them. Sadhu is a body of devotees. And in the body of devotees generally will be some learned Brahmins. In my case, I take shelter of Jananivas Prabhu constantly. And he is a source of great knowledge, realized knowledge. And he's not a single question I've ever asked him which I've disappointed to think of. What did he mean? Very clear. It reminds me a lot of Srila Prabhupada. One answer, that's it. You know, there's no room for any shadow of a doubt. The first book that I read when I came to Krishna consciousness was The Science of Self-Realization. And from a Hindu background, there's a lot of speculation that goes on by the pundits, so-called pundits. And they mislead you. But when I read Srila Prabhupada's Science of Self-Realization, every single question that was posed to him was answered beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I see that in Jananivas Prabhu, I see that in Bhakti Charamaraja, I see that in Subhag Maharaj yesterday. So there's many devotees like that. Sitting amongst ourselves, there's many devotees like that who can answer your questions. And that's one way. Then Shastra, which is the revealed scriptures, and the sadhu will say things based from scriptures. He'll say something and he'll refer to a particular text of the scripture. You see, Prabhupada always does that. He's always cross-referencing everything he says. He's making a reference with pranam from the Shastra. And then Guru. The super soul mentioned here as avigyata, unknown, manifests externally as the spiritual master. So we can associate in two ways with the spiritual master, you know. One is Vapu and one is Vani. Srila Prabhupada said Vapu is not always appreciated. Now, sometimes the spiritual master is very heavy with you all the time, think, oh, give me a break, you know. But the point is that's also great mercy. Srila Prabhupada used to say, Prabhupada said that my spiritual master used to regularly chastise his disciples. Fool, rascal, nonsense. All good words. So Srila Prabhupada used to relish this chastisement. And I've been chastised by my spiritual master. I relish that chastisement. There's nectar. I'll never forget it. I won't tell you now, of course, but I relish it. So, and that's Vapu. Then there's Vani. Vani is the constant because it will never change with our mood. It's like more set in stone. This is the instruction of your spiritual master for you. So long after he even leaves the planet, his instructions will be there. Like this organization, which is the body of Srila Prabhupada, is continuing because Srila Prabhupada's representatives, his disciples, grand disciples, the GBC, are all following the Vani of Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada is very much alive, even today. So we can understand better what is Krishna's intention for us by following these three ways of conferring. And there is one other way, and that is to pray to Krishna, what do you have in your mind for me? What is your intention? Because sometimes it's really bewildering. Some experiences may go through like, I can't be that bad. You know? But the point is, he knows. When enjoyment comes, you don't question. Do we? But when suffering comes, why me? The question is, it's been arranged, all of it, the so-called enjoyment and the so-called distress, for your ultimate purification to bring you closer to Krishna. Immediately when something is going on, when it's going down, you can't see what's going on. You're too close to it. Therefore you get advice from Sadhu, Guru, Shastra, and then you pray to Krishna, please, I don't know what's going on, I'm really confused. Please explain to me, or send somebody to me who can explain to me. And generally a few minutes later you'll meet a devotee or you hear a class. Wow, that answers my question. This devotee is speaking about me. Who sent him? Krishna did. So Krishna's mercy is present everywhere. I hope that answered your question. Yes, true.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, generally, ant cannot be moved without the will of a god. That is the one sentence is there. Ant cannot be moved without the will of God.
The hand.
Ants cannot be moved without the will of the God. So if that is the case, you know, suppose even though we are interested, we wanted to, it's a desire, really, even we are having a desire to daily chant this mantra 16 times around per day, but sometimes the mind is disturbing in such a way, one cause, and can we finish the 16 rounds in a day, the minimum 16 rounds what Prabhupada suggested, or periodically, or at a stretch we have to do the chanting. 16 rounds at a stretch, or in within 24 hours can we finish that chanting? 16 rounds. Sometimes it may be more also. Because, you know, can we chant the 16 rounds within a day?
Okay.
Periodically? Because, you know, the mind is disturbing such a way with having attached a lot of problems in it, everything. Sometimes we may not concentrate also on that while chanting it.
Good question. I'll repeat. Basically the question is, can we chant 16 rounds a day? Is it possible? Sometimes the mind tells us we cannot, it's too much. Well, in your question is your answer. What is telling you cannot chant 16 rounds? It's the mind. And in the science of self-realization, Srila Prabhupada explains that this Krishna consciousness transcends mental, sensual and intellectual levels. It's beyond that. And the key, the foundation of our Krishna consciousness is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Haridas Thakur used to daily chant 300,000 names of Krishna, 192 rounds. So our 16 rounds may not quite be comparable to that, may not be in the same ballpark as they say. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established the Gaudiya Math, the minimum number of rounds was set as 64. Then Srila Prabhupada adjusted, because his disciples complained, if we chant so many rounds, we'll not be able to preach, we'll not be able to do everything else. So Prabhupada said, okay, 32. Then Prabhupada adjusted again. Couldn't even manage 32. Prabhupada says, 16, but no less. So 16 rounds, actually, Prabhu, when a devotee takes vows in front of his spiritual master when he's initiated in Harinam, he takes a vow to chant 16 rounds, minimum. Very important that Prabhupada concluded this point in the vow, because he knows that by chanting and chanting more, one increases the chances of being purified. The holy name is Krishna himself. And the more you associate with Krishna in the form of his holy name, the more purified you get. This is explained Krishna says, Srila Prabhupada says that this is actually the problem, I'm sorry. This is the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8, purport. They say that living entity has to go through a rigid purificatory process. Like one has to be, have a suitable qualification to approach the sun, one has to be pure to approach the supreme pure. So what is the process of purifying oneself? Chanting the holy names of the Lord. And any thought that comes up in your head that I cannot make 16 rounds, it's not possible, then you should understand it's just your mind limiting you. You can chant 16 rounds. You can chant many more rounds than 16 rounds. But the mind limits us into thinking that we cannot do it. It's a question of mind over matter. And if we make the mind our friend by regularly beating it, and how do you beat the mind? With a stick in the morning. How many times, Mataji? 100 times. Ouch, poor mind. And in the evening, what do you beat it with? A shoe, a chappal. And then, how many times as well? So, the mind is sick, disease. So this is the medicine for the mind. A regular beating. And the more beating, the quicker the recovery. Don't forget the diet of Krishna Prasad. This is very important. Krishna consciousness is joyfully performed. Susukam kartam avaya. Anybody who is morose in Krishna consciousness is not in Krishna consciousness. Actually. When the moroseness comes, when the sadness comes, you must understand deep within your heart you have to have this faith. This is happening because Krishna is arranging this for this to happen to me so I can get closer to Him. It's my purification. And that's very, very difficult to see when you're in the situation. It's very difficult to see. But it's the only rationalization of us going through that. And that's the only way we will survive that test, that experience, is to understand. I'm aiming for the gold of gold of gold medals. This test is small compared to what I should be getting. Association helps. If you are associating with devotees who have taste for the Naam, Harinam, you will also have taste for the Name. If you have associated people who enjoy taking a lot of rest, you'll also take a lot of rest. But if you associate with people who are very keen and attentively chanting and endeavoring to hear every word, every syllable, and you chant with them, you will be more than likely to also chant attentively and intensely. I'll give you a good example. About 2 weeks or 3 weeks back, the devotees from Radhanath Maharaj's Chaupati Mayapur Yatra came here to Mayapur. Can you use some adjective to describe the atmosphere? I won't give the answer. You tell me. What did you, give me some words to describe the atmosphere when they were here. Any word?
Enthusiastic.
Other words, other adjectives, come on. Intense. Now we're getting there. More words. The ladies are awake today. Electric. Surcharged. Powerful. Such powerful chanting, such intense chanting. And Maharaj was there with us, with the devotees chanting. It was wonderful. So these devotees carry the taste with them and they can give it to others. You also carry the taste in your heart. And if you share it with me, maybe I can chant intensely also and elevate myself out of my suffering condition. We have to be there for each other. And it begins with the chanting of the Holy Name together, in a prayerful mood. So, we'll all chant together, dance together, feast together, in preparation for our eternal Dharma, which is doing the same thing when you go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.